Welcome to the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. We've been talking with Dr. David Maines, the executive director of SermonCoach.com, about making Sunday special. In order to continue our exploration of this important subject, we're turning to Chapel of the Air radio broadcasts from 1987, where Dr. David Maines talks about this very subject. We hope you enjoy this look back at a previous broadcast and also will glean from it the kind of information that will help you as a pastor realize how important it is to teach your congregation to make Sunday the high point of their week. David, share with us what you have for today.
Church bells. In times past, they called worshipers to God's house. In times past, bells announced the hours of the day. Bells signaled the death of a monarch or the birth of a prince. When fire broke out, pealing bells called for help. Many bells meant gather quickly, an enemy approaches. And all this May, we are using the sound of church bells to send a new challenge out across North America from the chapel of the air. Hi, good friend, David Maines greeting you. Because of this series about the Sunday challenge, I've been reading a lot about bells lately. This quote is from Cyrano de Bergerac. He's the famous French swordsman with a long nose, remember, in Edmund Rostand's play? This is as Cyrano speaks under the balcony to Roxanne, the woman he loves. Your name is like a golden bell hung in my heart. And when I think of you, I tremble, and the bell swings and rings. Roxanne, Roxanne, along my veins, Roxanne. I thought it was a good quote, Valerie.
I think it sounds like a tremulous love to me.
Well, I was setting a romantic tone so Valerie Bell, Steve's wife, my sister-in-law, could approach the Sunday challenge from that vantage point. Okay, Valerie.
Thank you, David. This past year, I discovered what a wonderful difference another double X chromosome can make in a house. I am a lone woman living in a house of XY chromosomes, or men. And I do mean men, not just a man and two boys, because it's my strongly held conviction that boys are just men in littler skin. The reason I state this so strongly is that I'm convinced there are certain attitudes that can only be explained through the genetic sex chromosome. And in my family, these attitudes have been displayed in equal strength in a 2-year-old male or a 38-year-old male. Here is my scientific proof for such an hypothesis. Every male in my family becomes deathly sick at the mere suggestion of spending the day shopping. I've also noticed that should I manage to get them to come with me to the store, it usually takes only 5 minutes of browsing in the women's clothing department before they've come down with things like splitting headaches and upset stomachs or rashes on their knees, all things that require an immediate cessation of shopping, but are miraculously healed as soon as we reach home. That's why I believe that boys are just men in littler skin. That's also why it was so nice recently to have another woman in the house. For several weeks, we've been home away from home for a girl named Faith, a college daughter of missionary friends of ours. It was a delight to have another woman standing in the kitchen, chatting and working with me to prepare meals. And how wonderful to have someone live in your house who likes the same things you do. This young woman, who looks as if she stepped out of an Irish Spring commercial, this young woman and I were good company for each other in our womanly pursuits. With mutual delight, we discovered that our clothing was even interchangeable, and I borrowed and lent in a way reminiscent of college dorm days. Besides the womanly camaraderie, having a younger woman around made me remember things I'd forgotten for a long time. She borrowed one of my sweaters for a date, and I couldn't help notice the carefulness of her preparation. Her dress was carefully pressed, her hair softly in place, her face and eyes were beautiful with anticipation. She studied her effect in the mirror. But suddenly, in my memory, I'm seeing another face there. It belongs to another young woman, blonde and pale. Myself at Faith's age. I'm waiting for the doorbell to ring downstairs. I'm nervous, excited, and I feel anticipation knotting my throat. I examine my reflection in the full-length mirror with a critical eye. Are there runs in my stockings? Any threads hanging? Will he like this dress? Downstairs, I hear my mother telling my father, I really like this boy, Dick. He's such a gentleman. He always comes to the foot of the stairs and yells to Valerie, Don't worry about being late, Val. We've got plenty of time. I'll just talk to your parents until you're ready. Watching Faith makes me remember what it felt like to be young and in love. How hard I tried to please that young man. What heady joy I felt when with him. How I loved it when he laughed at my jokes. With tenderness, I realize that Faith also knows these feelings. We're part of an age-old sisterhood of women who've waited for someone special and wanted to please him. With great anticipation, we look forward to the time we'll spend being together with that person we love. I'm in another stage of life now. Those early courtship words, don't worry about being late, Val, have become, Val, you'd better hurry, you're going to make us late. And why not? After all, human love must also have its practical side. After all, we're no longer young and unentangled. We've many responsibilities, children, work, a house, a yard. Finding the time to spend an evening together must be shuffled, squeezed into the schedule. And by the time all the arrangements are made, all the phone calls to find a babysitter who's picked up and given instructions in the emergency information, after the children are given their meals and reminded about bedtimes, the dog is fed and let out because the children never remember that on their own, well, so much has to happen before we can even get away. But even with all the things that must be taken care of, with all the distractions, even after 17 years of marriage, I must say that some things haven't changed that much. I still look forward. I still eagerly anticipate the times when Steve, my husband, and I can spend an evening together. We still enjoy each other's company. He's still laughing at my jokes. And when he compliments me, well, it still makes my day. And even though we live and work together every day, those times when we can spend an evening together, I look forward to as high points in our relationship. During those times, it's as if we were young again and freshly in love. But should I become casual about arranging the plans? I love you, Steve, but it was just too much trouble finding a babysitter tonight. Or should I find something else to do in that set-aside time? I love you, Steve, but thought I'd just go shopping with a girlfriend instead of being with you. Well, that would be a strong indication that things weren't as they should be between us. Saying I love you doesn't go very far when our actions don't back up our words. We might wonder if there was much love left in our relationship. On the other hand, when things are right, we're both reassured. This month, in the Chapel of the Air, we're issuing a challenge to the body of Christ in North America. We're calling it the Sunday Challenge. We're saying that it's time that we as His church reaffirm our love relationship with the Lord. It's time to become less casual about making plans so we can be together with Him in His house. It's time that our actions back up our words so that when Sunday comes, we aren't in our minds out shopping with the girls or golfing with the boys when we should be with the one we say we love. It's time we realize that the way we handle Sunday, our time to be alone with Him, is an indicator of how healthy our love relationship with Him is. That's why we on the Chapel of the Air broadcast team believe it's time to take up the Sunday challenge. Will you join with God's people throughout North America and one, choose to make Sunday the high point of your week? Two, begin your Sunday preparations on Saturday at the latest. Three, promise to set aside a regular weekly time of prayer for your church leaders. And four, expect God to honor your obedience with the reality of His wonderful presence when your church gathers. The biblical imagery of this love relationship from Isaiah 62 is of Christ the bridegroom rejoicing over His bride, the church. I believe that this tender lover, Jesus, is looking for indications that His love is being returned. But instead of affirmation of our love, it's very possible that He's noticing telltale signs that the relationship is no longer what it should be. What will He find when He looks my way, your way? Will He sense our joyful anticipation of being with Him again? Or will He feel that we've come to His house out of obligation and duty, not out of a desire to reaffirm our love? Will He be pained because of our obvious desire to be somewhere else? Or will He be complimented by our attention, pleased by our compliments? Will we experience a deep joy at being in His presence? Will our time with the Lord in His house on Sunday become for us the high point of our relationship with Him? Will it be almost as if we were young again and freshly in love?
Thank you for joining us for this time together. You found this SermonCoach.com podcast at our website, SermonCoach.com. That's Sermon-Coach.com. We invite you to browse through the rest of our website, where you will find resources there to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons and life-transforming services. And we invite you to join us for our next SermonCoach.com podcast.